Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, and we are going to come back to the subject we have touched on a number of times on this broadcast, and that is, how can we be salt and light in the world around us and yet still avoid being affected by this world? How can we be of this world? How can we be in the world but not of it? That's the question. How do we be in the world but not of it? And how do we prepare our children for involvement in various aspects of this world, including the military? That question becomes more and more important these days as some are considering the risks involved and the worldview differences between the institutions that are not honoring God and are not interested in maintaining God's principles, and yet there are opportunities still in those areas to be salt and light for the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we do that in this world? That's the question we're going to address, particularly in terms of involvement in the armed forces. And Kendrick Jefferson is with us today. He's a homeschool father of 10. He's been involved in the armed forces, in the Army, for his entire career. And I want to get more of the story on that in just a moment. But I met Kendrick down in Alabama at a Worldview conference down there. I'm going to say it was last year. No, well, yeah, maybe it was last year. I think it was last year.
Yes, sir.
It's so hard to figure out when I did what because of this whole COVID year. That's thrown me off, Kendrick. But welcome to the Generations broadcast, Kendrick. It's good to have you here.
Well, thank you, Kevin. It is such an honor to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to share and talk here.
Yeah, and you've been involved in the Army and the Army Reserves for your entire career, really for, I'm going to say, what, 25 years?
Well, the components of the Army is made up of three components: active duty, National Guard, and then the Army Reserves. And I've actually had the privilege, opportunity to serve in all three components over the last 25, almost 26 years.
Right. And so initially, you weren't involved as a chaplain. I don't think you went in with the intention immediately of taking on a chaplaincy or anything like that. But you worked your way into that.
So, yes and no. It is true I did not aspire to be a chaplain when I went into the military. And actually, it was truly the Lord's providence that that got me in the military, because I did not have a hankering or desire to be in the military, even though my father was a career soldier with 30 years of service. So for me, it was really praying to God. My heart has always been ministry since the Lord captured my heart at the age of 9, and I accepted Christ. When I was in high school, I desired to go to college, and I asked God if he would fund it. A couple of weeks after my parents informed me my junior year that they were not going to pay for my college. This is a newsflash to me. And as the Lord would have it, in the months that followed, I was approached just randomly by several people who asked me if I had heard about the ROTC scholarships, which I had not until they started approaching me. And after the third person approached me, I thought, the Lord might be in this. Let me go check into this. So ROTC in high school, ROTC scholarship was my pathway into the military. And the agreement was the Army would pay for my education, bachelor's degree, and then in return I would serve for up to 8 years, which could have been active duty, reserves, or otherwise.
And as I recall, it was an engineering degree. Is that correct?
Yes, I did study engineering in college, and I was selected and commissioned into the Army active duty as a combat engineer. initially, where I served for several years before picking up a couple of other specialties.
Okay. But and you worked your way into chaplaincy, I guess.
Well, and I said yes and no, mm-hmm. just because I have not become a chaplain.
Oh, okay.
But as just walking out the faith, the Lord has given me opportunities to minister and preach and to even pastor. These are not, it was not because of the chaplain branch or credentials in that regard, just the Lord opening doors. So, for instance, when I was deployed to Iraq back in 2009, I really desired, praying and worship and spending time with God and to do His work while I was over in Iraq, in Baghdad. And I was looking for believers. I didn't know who to connect with, but had just submitted to the Lord in prayer. And one day I was in the gym early in the morning, about 6 o'clock, working out, and a gentleman came up to me who I didn't know. He just started talking. And so I went ahead and I was halfway listening until he informed me that he just came from a prayer meeting. And that was 6 o'clock in the morning. So that got my attention. And so at that point, I started listening. I asked him a couple questions. Hey, who's praying at 6 o'clock in the morning? I think I need to spend time with these people. and then I affiliated with them and started praying 5 days a week, 6 o'clock in the morning. And before I knew it, I had become a minister, one of the ministry leaders of the chaplain's ministry team, mm-hmm. preaching in the chapels, discipling and doing ministry over there and on the military base.
Yeah. And so you had opportunities to disciple men out there in Iraq for a period of time, I guess.
I did. Yes. I had just arrived at that large Victory Base complex. And so for the last few months of my tour, an amazing thing happened. My workload, which had been really big for the previous 7 months, became really small. And so I had a great deal of time to pray and pour into men, to coordinate Christian movie nights and to spend time praying and even preparing messages and declaring the gospel in the chapel community.
Hmm. So that's the background. Kendra, can you give us a sense for what the military is like or how things have changed over the years? Has it changed dramatically, do you think?
Well, it absolutely has. I would say the military is just a cross-section or, a microcosm of society, larger society.
Mm, right.
And over the last 25, 26 years, I can see just the values, decaying, the worldview. And so, whereas when I first entered the military years ago, the homosexual agenda was not so progressive or, I use that word lightly, mm-hmm. Even with right and wrong, black and white. So I can see those changes, even mindset as far as equality or inclusion has become a thing. Discipline is no longer so hardline or black and white. It's more squishy how you feel and appeasing others. So those are just some of the things. Morality, of course, mm-hmm. Has continued to decay along with all of society.
You think it's more challenging for a young man, say 20, 21 years of age, to sign up for military, so one of the military branches, versus going to college, getting a job? Is there a difference?
You know, I listened to the interview that you and Bill Jack did on should our sons join the military, a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I really enjoyed it, and I could see the challenge in it. And I would just say the military as an institution, as you stated in the interview then, part of discussion back then, we ascribe to a higher degree of service.
Okay,
and,
right.
And mm-hmm. so, and we, you know, we sign up for the institution to be our master.
Mm-hmm.
When duty calls, phone calls, I mean, really, military leaders, they do own you, you know, so
right.
weekends, you know, late, early, where you move, when you move, a lot of control there. So, but as far as the challenge with being in an institution that's not the Department of the Army, I think it's a similar, very similar challenges. With the nuances that I just mentioned, of course, the military commitment and level of service definitely makes it the environment as its own challenges, I will say.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yet the counter worldviews in, say, a secular college is going to be as intense as it would be in the military. That would be your call.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, for a Christian to be involved in the military, what are the opportunities to be discipled or to disciple? Is there much opportunity there?
I would say, Kevin, there are endless opportunities.
Right.
And of course, it can be said at a cost and a significant cost.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, the opportunity is there. And I would just say this, I desire, after my first 4 years of active duty,
yeah.
I sought the Lord and he gave me a release to leave active duty. And my desire was to completely separate from the military.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a desire to go in anyway, but it was a means to an end.
Yeah.
So as far as the opportunities, I think there's as many opportunities as the individual is submitted to the Lord, walking in the Spirit, and obeying, you know, obeying the things that the Lord has called us to do. So there's been endless opportunities, and I can see now here these now 21 years after I left active duty, just how the Lord just always opens up the opportunities to disciple. Here we are working side by side with others, you know. Some are professing believers in various places in their journey and maturity levels. Others are non-believers. But for a individual who loves the Lord and is full of his Spirit to work alongside these in this very dark and challenging environment in the institution, mm-hmm. there is much opportunity.
Hmm. Is it possible for a young man not to be ready for it? You know, I mean, would there be somebody, say, in a local church looking at military recruitment, but you're thinking he's just not ready?
Absolutely. Yes. I think just because of the level of service and how the military, the Department of the Army owns you, mm-hmm. you end up in environments, like, for instance, deployments. You end up, you know, thousands of miles away from your support system, your family, your church, and it's at the military's choosing, you know, and truly, it's, you know, God's providence, but that you end up in different locations.
Mm-hmm.
And in a deployed environment, so many believers and people fall away from their faith or home values.
Mm-hmm.
And in the military culture, you know, there's certain norms and things, hanging out and alcohol and tobacco use and video game and all those things. And so you're in these environments, you can't go and come as you would like. Phone access, depending on what stage you are in your career and schools and that type of thing, you may not have access to others, or it may be very limited. Or controlled by others. So, yeah, they're definitely a lot. I've seen a lot of young and not so young believers really lose their way in the military.
But are there opportunities for worship and for fellowship with other Christian believers in every part of the military, or is it just a bit spotty, where, you know, you might wind up in a place where there's almost nothing, or other situations where you would have regular good fellowship and opportunities for worship in an Orthodox church of some sort?
So I would say, in my experience, that the Lord has provided opportunities. There have been opportunities most of the time.
Most of the time. Okay.
Yeah, most of the time. There are a body of believers and, you know, chapels and chaplains. But when the chaplain's circulation or their support in certain regions and areas and countries, it just depends on the organization, the task organization, how they are arrayed. But what I have found, like overseas, I just came back from Afghanistan several months ago, and the chaplain that covered a region last year, just before COVID, because of weather and different dynamics, he could not travel to all the satellite locations that he was actually overseeing and pastoring in.
Okay.
And not only that, his administrative load was pretty heavy as he supervised a good number of chaplains across the country. And so in that environment, in that situation, there was not ministry except the Lord to open a door. And he was a friend of mine, and he asked me if I would pastor the congregation. And the Lord grant me that. But, you know, there are situations where the chaplains and ministry teams cannot get around. But I do also, I think back to when I was at Fort Campbell, and I was the ministry coordinator with a Youth for Christ missionary at Fort Campbell.
Okay.
And I was one of a handful of missionaries, be it the navigators. The navigators ministry was there.
Okay.
There's the servicemen center. They had one of those outside the base.
Mm-hmm.
Myself being a Youth for Christ missionary. So we were, you know, speckled on the base, and there were those communities. There's the Protestant women of the chapel. And so there were opportunities to get together. But as far as the orthodoxy, as far as the foundation, the strength of the community or the faith, it just depends. And it can be lacking in places and at times.
Hmm. What would you say would be a young man that is a good candidate for the armed forces? We have young men in our congregation interested in the armed forces, the Marines or the Air Force. Who do you think would be best suited for military work?
Well, I would say that young men who have strong foundations in the faith.
Okay.
Young men who, as they enter the military in this phase, that they don't have their mindset that, hey, I'm going in the military and this is the only path. Because just with policies and culture and where the organization and leaders are leading, we truly do have to be prepared to possibly be persecuted for our faith.
Yeah.
To be court-martialed. So I say it's very important that young men who go into military have a firm foundation, that they love the Lord, and they know how to walk in the Spirit. There are many traps and vices, and so I would only say for those only strong in the faith, those seeking adventure and or just a job or a career that that gets them away from home or what have you, I think are very susceptible to many of the vices that would meet them almost immediately when they enter their military service.
Now, a fair percentage of folks that are in the armed forces find their own, you know, relationships interrupted with their families. They're away from their families for a tour of duty for a period of time. That itself is quite a stress on an individual, and I'm sure can lead to, you know, problems with the marriage and so forth. What's been your experience with that?
Absolutely. That separation from parents and family members,
mm-hmm.
From godly relationships in marriage, the separation from one spouse for yeah. extended periods of time, be it basic training, you know, you're talking 8 weeks or 13 weeks. It's very detrimental. And so young people, they don't have that. Two are better than one, and they can end up very isolated and alone. You know, I've actually walked with several, and my oldest son been one who's now a first lieutenant in the military.
Okay.
So he's been in the military for about 2.5 years, and he went away to training, and the training was for 5 months, so he was out in Oklahoma, hundreds of miles from home, and really desired a strong faith community and also fellowship and other believers to pray with, to study the word with, and it took some time. It was very difficult and challenging for him during that time. And there were periods where he could not call home. And even now, there's periods where he can't call home for weeks at a time and possibly months at a time. So just walking with him through this, by God's grace, he does have a firm foundation and strong in the faith. He does love the Lord and has hidden his word in his heart. We're just thankful to God for his grace in my son and chewing evil and how God has grown us closer even as we walk with him in his journey.
Personal testimony, how did you stay strong, or how do others stay strong in terms of their marriage, their faith, on the tour of duty? While they're away for an extended period, I'm talking, I think it's what, 3 to 6 to 9 months at a time?
And actually for me, my tour, I was away from home for a year to Afghanistan and about 11 months in Iraq and what have you. So yes, so the means of grace, the things that really helped me to stay strong and close to the Lord was walking in his steps and finding those relationships with believers who truly loved the Lord. It was being about his work where realizing that, you know, we're the main thing God has called us to is not our vocation. And he's called us to fulfill the Great Commission and make disciples. And so being among believers who share God's vision and partnering with the Lord and what he's doing is critical and essential to not getting bogged down and distracted. I think about David, you know, David when his men went to the war and he was in the wrong place.
Right.
He was back at home. And so us as believers, when we are away from our family in the military deployments training, it's really important that we are in the place where God would have us to be. At least we find ourselves succumbing to temptations and sin.
So stay focused on the kingdom, on your call, not the call of the U.S. Armed Forces, but your call by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll be okay.
That's key, yes.
Yeah, amen. Well, thank you. Thank you, Kendrick. Kendrick Jefferson has been our guest on the Generations broadcast today, a homeschool dad of 10. He himself has been involved in the Army and his son as well. A good testimony today, helpful, practical, thoughtful, faith-filled today from Kendrick Jefferson on the Generations broadcast. Kendrick, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.